Light the beam.
Because it's time for Nerdy for 30, the podcast where we talk about nerdy-ish movies for 30-ish minutes. My name is Kevin Bauer, a.k.a. The Critic's Choice. With me, as always, he's the people's champ. It's Tim Kak.
Yeah.
And today, we're talking about the movie Godzilla X Kong. Tim, one is a veteran officer with 2 weeks left till retirement. The other is a loose cannon cop who doesn't play by the rules. Together, they are Godzilla and King Kong.
What does the X stand for? Like, it's not and, it's just X.
No,
how are they
dude,
saying that? They're teaming up. They're hanging out. What does the X mean?
It's a brand collab between Godzilla and Kong. It's truly like that's the only way that I know. I feel like this is like Rihanna X Fenty and that kind of stuff.
I was thinking, yeah. I love this. As far as the cop waiting to retire, Kong crushes in this. Kong should win best actor at the Oscars next year. There's a lot more emotion in his eyes than, you know, some of the people getting nominated. Shots fired at I don't know who. I haven't really thought about it too much. I don't care about the Oscars. But I'll say right away, my biggest beef is all of the scenes with human beings in them. We don't need them. We don't need them. And I think we moved closer to the right direction this time. There's less people, more Godzilla, more big animated guys wrestling each other, body slamming people, having full on conversations that we don't understand. We don't need the people. Next time, they should go full on. No human beings, just animation, just Kong and Godzilla hanging out buddy cop style, defending the world from Titans or whatever the heck they're calling them, Kevin. What do you think?
Can I bring up something that I think is genuinely fascinating? Longtime listeners of the show might recognize that this movie's immediate predecessor, Godzilla v. Kong, was our first official episode as Nerdy for 30. We did an episode of your podcast before that where we talked about the Snyder Cut with our pal Matt Strickland that kind of served as the basis for all this. But Godzilla v. Kong, that kicked it all off. That's the start of our feed. In that podcast, you argue the entire time about how you want no people. You say that these movies are terrible anytime the people are on screen. Pretty sure you say that you wouldn't care if the movie was 45 minutes long as it's just a supercut of all of the monsters fighting. At the time, I thought you were crazy. I don't know if you've slowly radicalized me over the course of 3 years, but I completely fucking agree. I completely agree. I think they kind of took your note because they didn't try to make the human stuff make any goddamn sense in this movie. They're edging their way there. But I didn't know how it could be done until I was going back through and watching a couple episodes of the show Primal. Primal is the basis for what this whole fucking thing should be. It's Jindy Tartakovsky. It's an Adult Swim cartoon made by the same guy that did Samurai Jack. This cartoon is a caveman and a T-Rex that team up. They form a strong bond. They cannot talk to each other. There is no dialogue in this show. And it's phenomenal. You get so much emotion. And watching the Kong parts of this movie, I realized, oh my God, they should just fucking do Primal. What are they doing?
I think it'd be sweet. I'd like to point out how consistent I've been this whole time. Kevin, I did have an idea. I had no change. I am stagnant. I am a rock. The world moves around me. I was going to pitch this as like maybe another pod we do for on like a fun day is ranking the best like Snyder cuts or the best cuts of alternate cuts of a movie we want to see. So like we could rank Godzilla X Kong without the people and just put that on the list. You know, Lord of the Rings, no hobbits. That's going on the list. We need I feel like there's more out there. Meg minus the half hour underwater.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's
on the list.
Cook. Like, the Moon Knight movie cut. Moon Knight movie cut. It's good. It'd be good.
Yeah, we got it. We got to do like just a different cuts rankings at some point. But yeah, I think they could do it. This is also a 2 hour movie somehow, which I guess that other half hour is people that we don't need. I don't know exactly what the people add. I mean, there were just a lot of scenes where it's just Kong and baby Kong hanging out. And I was here for it. I think we were able to follow all of the action in this or all of the communication going on with Kong. Kong has a toothache. He's scared. He goes to people. He can't talk to these people. Kong hasn't talked this entire time, but then he meets a little Kong. He actually meets a bunch of Kongs. He's ambushed. He fights them off. Then little Kong is attacking him, but he tricks little Kong demands that little Kong take him to the rest of the Kongs. And then the Kong eventually learns that King Kong is like a good person. And then they show up and there's this evil tyrant, the Scar King, and all of the other Kongs or gorillas, they're all working in a mine for some reason. I don't know what they're mining.
They're going to push those rocks around, Tim. Those rocks aren't going to push themselves around.
What are they looking for? It's like a dystopian jail, like the kind of thing that, like, I don't know, some action hero would have to like bust out of, you know. Yeah. Who's the guy from The Boys? You know what I'm talking about? The main dude Carl with the Urban? Beard.
Yeah.
Urban. That's the kind of place that Carl Urban would have to break out of in like a prison movie and, you know, dig under a fence and, you know, bribe somebody and shank someone to get out. What are they looking for? I don't know. They have zero technology. They're just picking up rocks and putting them down. They're not like chained down or anything. It seems like they could just I don't know what they're doing. It seems like a weird thing. But I followed the whole thing. He's kicked out. Little kid saves him. There's this whole interaction with him, Godzilla, and Mothra. No words. Mm-hmm. We get it. I got it. I'm there. Especially once Mothra shows up and you're like, finally, like some moderation, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, finally, we have a third opinion on this and someone who can settle it with both parties. So, you know, the people were really unnecessary. They did set up the anti-gravity thing, which was a kind of cool, which was a pretty neat fight scene.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And maybe we need them to explain things like that. You can't just have, I mean, there's probably a way to just show us that there's an anti-gravity part of this place and then they go through it or something, you know?
Yeah, totally.
The humans then also do this thing in these movies that I hate, but this is a Godzilla staple, is... the humans have nothing to do, so they go out of their way to put themselves in danger for no reason, just so that when Godzilla and Kong are fighting, they can be like, oh my God, we're not gonna make it, you know, like, oh, the portal's closed, you know, like they there was no reason for them to fly away then, but they decide to get into their jet. The second the anti-gravity thing went off and all the monsters started flying, all the people are like, let's get up there. We need to be a part of this. And they board this shuttle. And then everything is like the joystick, like jerking on it too hard, red face, like, we got to get. And Mothra saves them. And it's like, thanks, Mothra. And it's like, you could have just sat this one out. You could have just not been a part of this. You know, it was a very human thing to do, I thought. You know, you see some people having a good time. You're like, how can I fuck this up?
Yeah. Truly, so like backline at an improv show.
Yeah.
Level interest in what's going on.
That's exactly it. Yeah. What else do the humans bring anything to the table for you, Kev?
One human did. Dan Stevens. Dan Stevens in this movie stood out to me as a prime example of making the most out of absolutely nothing. I will admit, when I saw the trailer and I saw Dan Stevens, I was sad. My first thought was, has it come to this? I think he's great. He's a super cool dude. He was like, he played Charles Dickens in this movie about the writing. It's kind of like a Shakespeare in Love, but with A Christmas Carol. It's really good. I cannot for the life of me remember what the name of the movie is. Oh, it's, I think it's The Man Who Invented Christmas. Dog shit name. But it's like a very fun, good movie, especially like fired up this holiday season. He played the Beast in the live action Beauty and the Beast remake. He hasn't been given a ton of really cool stuff to do, but I heard his name thrown around for live action Mr. Fantastic for the reboot. I think he would have been great. He's got a little bit of that like darkness in him that I think Mr. Fantastic needs, that we'll see if Pedro Pascal can bring. But
he can do it.
I was so sad that he was in this. And then, boy, oh boy, did he knock it out of the water. He was the only human that I actually wanted to spend time with. I'm like, okay on Brian Tyree Henry in these movies. I love him in general, but I don't love his character in these movies that much. Dan Stevens in this movie. I'm here for it.
What is it that you like about him? That he's just like the brash, confident, like, hang on to your butts. Well, I'll get us out of this. You know, like, I've got an idea, and then comes back with a bunch of weird dinosaurs, you know?
Yeah. He's playing it up. I mean, he is being real cartoony in this one. His role, his designated role in this movie is veterinarian for Titans, which shouldn't exist. We don't need this. But there he is. He has a solution in place. He's like the Tony Stark of giant dentistry. Like, he's got parts flying in from who knows where. He's jumping in there himself. They've got some great music hits. Anytime he comes on stage with something flying, there's like a couple really good needle drops in this movie. The soundtrack in general, the score, also very cool.
It was pretty good.
I don't think we've said it yet. This movie is kind of good.
This movie's definitely fun.
Yeah.
I had a great time watching it, and I think it is almost good. Yeah. I don't know if I would say that it's good, but it's fun. I mean, it's obvious what it is. So if you go looking to, if you're the kind of person who buys a ticket for Godzilla X Kong, you're going to like Godzilla X Kong. I was looking at the Rotten Tomatoes, and it's like 50% critics and like 95% audience. Yeah, and it's like, man. Yeah, because we've cut off all the fat with the first one. You know, nobody is like accidentally seeing this movie.
It's like, what I think you're going to get what you want. Dune book series. Like, the measure of a good book series is like, usually book series on Goodreads, but it's like the numbers keep climbing because by the time you get to the seventh book in the series, only the diehard fans are reading it. But for Dune, it stays middling.
I feel like that's a bad sign when it's like the eighth book in a series is like a 3 out of 5 stars. And you're like, these are just the people that love this the most. And they're like, ugh, no, thank you. Not 8. And then they keep going because there's people reading 9 and 10. This is exactly what you want. I agree. Brian Tyree Henry doesn't have a fun character. He gets to play the guy that's like, whoa, no one's going to believe me, you know? And it's like, just he's forced to be like the audience surrogate as opposed to just throwing jokes out there, which I think he'd be good at. I think he's a funny guy.
He got to be that guy in the last one. I think it's incredible. It's kind of fascinating. These movies deal with this hollow earth where there's portals that take us to a hollow, like maybe dimension inside of the earth. And in much the same way, this franchise has completely turned itself inside out. The Gareth Edwards Godzilla is a grim, dark, realistic take on Godzilla. And we have gone so far out the other side where this is this colorful, monster-forward movie where Kong gets a fake tooth and an electrically supercharged fist. It's
Godzilla dyes his hair pink.
Yeah, man. It's wild. But they found their footing. Like, they found what this version of the franchise is. And I would for sure take another one of these.
Dude, at the end, when we've got Kong standing there in front of, he like basically shows up at the prison, like he's going to break everybody out and like, an era of peace will reign in the Kong kingdom. He's got the axe. He's got the super fist. He's got baby Kong, and he's got this ice dragon he's now friends with.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is great. I would watch the shit out of this. We don't need any people. What if they just did The Office, but with just all these Kongs like trying to.
Oh, my God. He's got problems. It's like Tessa Thompson in Thor Love and Thunder. Is it really that good to be King Kong, or does he just want to go back to being Kong?
I did not like how old he looked in this one. Kong got a little gray.
We're all getting older.
I want Kong to be the biggest one.
He is, isn't he?
I think he's kind of the biggest one, but I don't know. There's something a little bit of a bummer with him standing next to all of these other gorillas that are also really big. I'm really glad they took the fight back up to Earth and we're fighting in like cities and people and cars, because then we get the perspective of how big these guys are. And I really felt like we lost that when Godzilla is like trekking around, and because the world is so big.
It is, but he's also clearly still really big. That was one of the things I thought was funniest about this, is when we go to the Hollow Earth, we go to the place that these Titans live and are from, and they're still too big for their surroundings. Like, you would expect that you'd go to where they're from and they would be normal size gorillas, but you go there and they're still like 300 feet tall and trees are still the same size. Like, I think people should go there and it should be like, I mean, look, this is applying logic to something that arguably should not have any logic on it.
No.
But I would have kind of expected it to be more like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and the people are really tiny when they go there. But instead, the people are still people size and the Titans are still fucking huge.
It's super cool. I love it a lot. The I did, my biggest thief, Kevin, is probably the Scar King. Scar biggest King thief. Rules. I think Scar King's awesome because they have King Kong and they make King Kong a badass. They have King Kong just beat the shit out of like three other gorillas, like gorilla guards or whatever. They attack him and he manhandles them like he beats the crap out of these guys. And it's awesome and it's cool and it's fun. But then he shows up at this like prison thing. And again, he looks like the biggest guy. He beats up the guards. He's kicking ass. He looks like a threat. He's so broad. He's so big. He's so jacked. He's got his axe. And then this like orangutan comes out and it's like, this guy is going to get his ass kicked by Kong, but he's like lanky and like scary. And he's about as tall as Kong, but looks a little lighter, but he's got this whip. That's crazy. His fighting. He's just so much more agile than Kong. They made him into a real like scary threat. And then they pair him with this ice thing. It was just, he was just a great villain for this when, and I was worried about it, honestly. I'm like, I don't know if I really want to watch Kong fight a bunch of other gorillas, but yeah. They made him into a different character than Kong. I mean, he looks nothing like Kong. He acts nothing like Kong. And I think that's awesome. I think it makes the movie work.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I'm right there with you. When they revealed that the villain was going to be another monkey, I was like, this sucks, because it's always fun. Like, half the fun of these movies is seeing the weird creatures they come up with.
Yeah.
Like the crab shrimp thing that attacked Rome was amazing. Like, yeah. I love that thing. Yeah, they paid it off. He really was intimidating. How? Yeah. Speaking of, you mentioned earlier that, you know, he finessed that group of other gorillas that came after him. And then there was the baby Kong that he also had a conflict with. When is the last time you can remember where the hero of a movie beats a kid's ass? Like, absolutely beats a child's ass.
That's some South Park shit, man. Like, that's kind of what makes Kong in this scenario so great. Is he picks up the baby gorilla, smashes him into the ground, and then uses him as a weapon to beat one of the guys and then throws him at another guy. Like, it's great. It's awesome. Yeah. You couldn't do that with people. There's no context in which you'd be able to do that in a real live action. A human couldn't pick up another living thing, beat somebody with it and throw it. But in this cartoon world, it works. It also works, I think, that baby Kong isn't too hurt by it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it'd be one thing if he killed baby Kong doing that. All of a sudden you're like, ugh, Kong might not be the best dude, but there's a lot of save the cat moments with Kong. He throws he kicks a guard. The guard falls over the edge of this cliff and he dives down and grabs his hand and he helps him up. And then the guard immediately tries to stab him and Kong just kicks him off again.
Yeah,
it's like, that's awesome. Like, that's what we need. We need Kong doesn't shoot first, but he shoots last, you know? And he gets him.
He's benevolent, but he's not going to give you a second chance.
And that's 100% what it is. He's just a chill. I mean, Kong is just a good dude, man. He's a good guy. That's what I know. That's what I learned. You know, so I trust Kong with my life.
What's your take on Godzilla in these? Because it kind of like, it's still, it's wild how they've fully personified Kong and that they're leaving Godzilla to still kind of be just this force of nature. Like, Godzilla is still kind of a hurricane, but we also like him because he made a dog bed out of the Colosseum, which is just sick. It's just the sickest fucking thing they did in this movie.
It's very cute. And he curls up and takes a nap. They're making him more friendly. It does. They've kind of painted it like, oh, he's protecting us from these giant monsters. But it is like a giant monster attacks a U.S. city. Godzilla goes there, battles the monster, further destroying this U.S. city. Like, millions of lives are lost every time Godzilla shows up, even if he is like maybe doing the right thing for us. It's tricky. I don't love Godzilla as like a thing. It's just, you know how there's like the conflicts where it's like man versus man, man versus himself, man versus nature. Man versus nature is just the least interesting thing to me, you know, like a geostorm, a twister. It's you're battling a thing that is out of your control. And that's what every Godzilla movie is. It's how are they going to deal with this external force that can't be reasoned with? I mean, Godzilla is like the personification of a tornado or an earthquake or whatever natural disaster you want to use. A big wave if you're out in the ocean. And he comes in and he looks different and he burns things down and it's badass and he's fun to look at. But he's the same thing as an earthquake. He functionally, story-wise, he's an earthquake. So I don't love it. I don't love seeing Godzilla all the time. The best, I mean, we did Godzilla Minus One, which was fantastic because the movie around Godzilla was great. Yeah. I think if you take Godzilla out of that movie, it's still awesome.
Totally.
It's still
agree.
Got a lot going on. And Godzilla is additive, but he isn't. Godzilla's whipped cream. You know, if you don't have ice cream, what are you doing? But if you have ice cream, you throw a little whipped cream on top, all of a sudden it's like we got a sundae going. We got a stew.
I kind of dig that. Yeah, because I mean, I love Godzilla, but the rest of it has to be good. And so many of the old Godzilla movies, I love throwing those things on and just happen in the background, like Destroy All Monsters and all that. But so much of the reason that I like that is just it's the colors have aged gloriously. And it's just flat out fun as a human being to watch somebody in a rubber suit fight other people in rubber monster suits, but it's also kind of just watching wrestling. So like, that's the fun aspect of it. And like the cheesy special effects and stuff are the fun. When it comes down to the actual meat and potatoes of the movie, no question, Godzilla Minus One is the best Godzilla movie. And yeah, you're right. In these, it's kind of like he's a hurricane that can be deployed to fight other hurricanes, or he's like an actualization of that Trump idea of what if we nuke a hurricane? Godzilla is a nuke for a hurricane.
He is. And he's just sucking up more nuclear energy and stuff and hanging out. But whereas like Kong is like Frankenstein's monster or something. It is like a misunderstood. It's an emotional journey with Kong.
Yeah.
He's a fish out of water. He's taken every version of Kong is they go to this island. They take him from his home. They force him into shows and things. They put him on display. They torture him. Then he escapes. He's just trying to get home. And ultimately humanity is too cruel to allow a creature like Kong to exist. You know, he's an empathetic figure immediately. And his emotions drive the story of whatever he's in. So yeah, it's very interesting that this is where we're going with this. And it makes sense that Kong is like the leading man in this in this world. Godzilla is just like an accessory on top of it. I wonder, did you ever get into like Kong, like could they ever do just a King Kong movie again? I guess
they
did Skull Island and stuff. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, with this version of Kong, I don't think we can go back to Kong being, you know, brought to humanity in the same way. Just because it would be, it's, you know, we're further along in the story. People aren't as shocked to see Iron Man by the time Infinity War rolls around.
Right.
They would have to, I think they could absolutely do something with just Kong. Ideally, it wouldn't be other gorillas again. I would want to see them branch out into something else. Maybe, I mean, you know, if they do another Godzilla X Kong movie, we've seen them fight things from inside the earth. We've seen them fight each other. Maybe we see them fight something from space. Yeah.
Let's put him in space, like Fast and Furious 9 or whatever it was.
Yeah, dude.
Godzilla X Kong in space. Let's just do it. Just do it.
Get the same guys. Do a fast crossover. Who says this isn't the same universe? Can you imagine how sick it would be to see King Kong with a Dodge Charger next to him and Vin Diesel's in there? It hits him with the nod.
I just want to see that post-credit scene so bad when they're like, when Rebecca Hall's like, we need to be prepared for next time. There's going to be bigger threats. And then you hear Vin Diesel's voice like, we'll be ready for him. And then it cuts to him and the family there, Jason Statham and The Rock and John Cena are all there next to cars. I'm like, we've got this. And then it's just, then you got things like a Dodge Charger, like driving up Godzilla's tail and launching off his head, dude, and riding a beam of radiation into the bad guy, whoever it is, you know, like rides the beam of radiation. The radiation blasts the monster. The car hits an enemy car that is on top of the enemy monster.
Yeah.
And they fight. They had a very cool shot where it was the monkey, the Scar King, riding the ice monster, Kong kind of riding Godzilla, and they both like came towards each other. It's like, we need to take that and just Photoshop more stuff into it, you know?
Oh my God. Just get anytime there's been like a shot like that of like a slow-mo zoom in on somebody's face coming into a fight.
Yeah. We got to have like Mike Tyson and Jake Paul.
Holy shit. So funny. Oh my
Vin
God.
Vin Diesel and whoever the bad guy in that was. Glenn Powell? No.
We got some shots from Creed. You could have Apollo Creed in there or Adonis Creed in there.
Apollo Creed. Adonis Creed and Jonathan Majors. R.I.P.
Dude, I want to bring this up because we're wrapping up. The fighting was obviously great in this movie. I loved the locations. The portals were ridiculous, but they were a perfect excuse to get us just to the interesting locations on Earth. This felt like a fighting game at times.
Yeah.
It's like, here's an exotic location. It was like Street Fighter mixed with, did you ever play the game Primal Rage?
That was the one with,
dinosaurs.
Wasn't it like a giant monkey and a mm-hmm. lizard and a turtle or something?
That's there was one called Rampage where you just tear down a city. There was another one that was like a one player versus two player fighting game called Primal Rage that was just straight up like dinosaurs and giant apes fighting. And it was like gross. I think it was made by the same people that did Mortal Kombat. And so it was like, you know, when you won, they would do kind of like a fatality and like the dinosaur would rip out the ape's throat and stuff like that. But this was like, I loved it when I was a kid. They had it in pizza place that I used to go to. And this was like getting to watch a Primal Rage movie, and it just really scratched an itch on a very basic level.
Because this one's gross, too. Like Kong picks a monster up over his head and like rips it in half and just green blood covers his body. You know, like it's there's like awesome fighting in this, too. Godzilla like body slams the ice guy. They're like doing all kinds of weird stuff. This was a critique I had. Maybe we'll get it in the next movie. That like fist weapon thing Godzilla has, it needs a gun, right? Isn't it kind of crazy?
Yeah.
There isn't a gun in it. Like even if that guy, if Trapper is like following in the helicopter and he flips a switch and fires the gun for Godzilla or for King Kong, maybe that's something. And King Kong's like, whoa, I didn't know I could do this.
I want it to be a gun. I don't want it to be like Black Widow's arm gauntlet. I want it to be a fucking Glock. I want it to be a huge gun.
There's I want a big to see money King pushes Kong it.
Pistol whip somebody.
And the whole thing transforms into a gun that he holds and pulls
so
a trigger.
Sick. Oh my God.
And there's
God,
clips
please.
And he has to carry all the, he has to like a bandolier of like bullets. I bet he could figure out how to shoot a gun.
Holy. Dude. Gorillas are smart. Coco could have used a gun for sure.
Oh my God. Coco, a gun in Coco's hands would have really sped things up.
Oh man I want to see that so bad. I hope we can get there with this franchise, because it really does feel like the gloves are off in a way. And like, if this makes money, did this make money? How's this one doing? God I hope it did.
Now I'm thinking, you know, like I was thinking Glock initially, like it comes out of the gauntlet. But now I really just want them to make him like an old time, a giant old timey shotgun. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. Where he either like folds it over his arm or like probably a pump action. Like I want him to have something. No, I want it to fold. I want it to be one of those folding ones where he has two shots and then he folds it in half and he has to load it with stuff. Like, that's so funny.
He's Sean Connery in Skyfall. He's got like the old Scotsman hat on and he's just walking around with it folded over his arm all the time.
Yes, that's the move. We get him a jacket. We get him a fun hat. I mean, there's a lot of things we could do with King Kong, and, you know, it could carry a story. What if we just put King Kong, what if we sent him to like the alternate London of the underworld or whatever. And he did like a Sherlock Holmes thing where he's solving monkey crimes. And he lives in an apartment and he smokes a pipe, and then there's like a monkey is murdered and he has to go like look at it and investigate the crime scene, and then Baby Kong is like that other dude who was always with him.
Watson. I want to see Watson. Him smoking a pipe, but it's a whole chimney. He's just straight up smoking a fireplace. I got great news for you, by the way, Tim. This movie made $81 million this past weekend. The budget was $135 million. So this puppy's getting a sequel. We're doing it, baby.
This is only $135 million.
It's incredible.
It's really crazy, impressive, isn't it?
It looked good. The frost effect, the ice effect that the ice dragon had looked amazing.
Good. It looked good. It's a little corny at moments, but it definitely looks... It's cool, man. It's super fun.
Yeah. You got any?
What do you think
beefs?
Is the next? What's the next thing for Godzilla? Because Kong got the super fist. Mm-hmm. Godzilla turned pink, and they told us he was stronger, but they didn't really show it. Aside from he had that one moment where he does like the radiation explosion, which I forget if he could do that in the first one, but maybe he could. Godzilla doesn't really need a gun. Could he develop another ability? Is there like another? How do we level him up for the next one? Turn him orange.
Wings would probably be pretty impressive. What if he just got?
I don't know if I love that or hate that.
I mean, what if he just got unsustainably big, like just way too big, and then
he started growing?
Yeah, he ends up. There is a space Godzilla, but what if he kind of became the space Godzilla? Like he got so big that he had to go be a protector of the planet. And he's just kind of drifting around in space like an Eternal.
Yeah, that'd be fun. What if he shrunk, but as he shrunk, he became more human-like?
Oh, Manzilla.
Manzilla. And then we do like a Flowers for Algernon thing where he slowly starts transforming back into Godzilla. And he has to write about, you know, I'm losing my mind. I don't remember things anymore. Oh, I'm becoming the beast again.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Flowers for Algernon is really the way to take this franchise. We got Sherlock Holmes. They need to split again. We got a Sherlock Holmes spinoff and a Flowers spinoff.
I think you could do anything with these guys. Genuinely, I would watch this version of Kong do pretty much anything. I think they could map it on a show and I could watch like zero dialogue and just see him go on little adventures. It'd be great.
He is shockingly fun to watch. Also, check out Primal if you haven't yet. It's like... It's really good, dude. Primal. I think you'll like it a lot.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
We're coming to a close. Any final beefs?
I think that's it for me. Do you have anything you want to get out?
I have one. What is the light source in the Hollow Earth? Because if you're on the ground and you look up, you see more ground. It's like the sky is just an alternate version of the floor. And if you look into the distance, it looks like there's sky. There's clouds and stuff. But if you walk into the distance, there's never a sky there. It's just more world. So if that's the case, where's the fucking light coming from? They keep going deeper and deeper into these different caverns. And every time they do, they emerge into a space that also has a sky and a light source that we can't see. But that would theoretically be deeper than where we were. But if where we were was the middle of the Earth and we're going deeper, we're kind of going out from this hollow center. And I'm starting to think they don't care, Tim.
I think that's part of it. I don't think they care. I don't understand. Like, then the humans are inside a Mothra bubble. Is that what it is? But so are all these other animals. The world is weird. The humans use like a portal to get there, but then Godzilla can also just climb up. And I guess they're not using portals the rest of the time. Mm-mm. So, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know. It's weird. It's a good point, though. It is just sunny there all the time in a place where there is no sun. So do you think this is like the center of the Earth? Do you think this is the Earth's core, or is this like a territory around the core?
I think it's the core. It seems like it's the core of the Earth. I mean, they're really going in on like the hollow Earth idea. So.
Okay. All right. Flat earthers, explain that.
Yeah.
If the Earth's flat, where's Kong?
Where's Kong? Let us know. Hit us up. Send us an email, nerdy430@gmail.com. We'll read it on the show. We love doing that. We'll do a mailbag episode. We will be back here again next week with something. Tune in then to find out. Until then, stay nerdy, everybody. Bye.
Stay nerdy. Bye.